So what do you get the person who has everything? I think we've all approached that question at some time or another in our lifetimes of gift giving, haven't we? Have we been there? And maybe it's not that they have everything, but they have everything that they would need or everything that they would want. They don't have some pressing need that you can fill by giving them a gift. They don't have some out big wish, you know, some big wish out there that you can step in and help fulfill that. They have everything they need. They have everything they want. So what do you get them? You know, socks? everybody needs socks. Gift certificate. You know, when we think about King Solomon in the Old Testament, he was the epitome of this person. Solomon's dad, King David, he was tremendously successful as a king. He had established the nation of Israel. There was great wealth. There was a booming population. There was a military strength, just a renowned army that was unmatched. Rising architecture and development with inside the nation of Israel. And so when David died, his son Solomon, he inherited all of that. He was king over this rich, successful, powerful nation of God. So after Solomon had taken the throne, we're told that God goes to him. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. Good news. And God said, ask what I shall give you. I mean, God just asked him point blank. Ask. What do you want? Ask anything. I mean, that's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, the God of the universe comes to you, and I don't know, maybe Solomon's thinking, well, maybe this is a thing for kings of Israel. Maybe they get one wish. You know, you get one wish from God. You know, think about that. If God came to you and said, well, you guys are already, your wheels are already turning. I see some of you out there already going. If God said, ask and I'll give it to you. What would we ask for? You know what was going through Solomon's mind? You know, well, I'd love to have the latest, greatest golden chariot pulled by the most magnificent horse. Oh yeah, already have that. You know, I would love to live in a palace. Well, yeah, already have that. Love to rule a successful kingdom. Yeah, I've already got that. I mean, you think about it. Solomon had all of the things that the equivalent of the things that maybe we would be asking for if we had that one wish from God. You know what Solomon said? Solomon said, you know, I'm kind of young and I'm new at all this kingship stuff. And this is quite a big undertaking. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at all of this success right in front of me and I've got all these new duties and I don't really know what I'm doing. I didn't even get an associate degree in monarchy. I have nothing. I have my dad's example, but he's gone now. So the man who had everything asked for wisdom. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this, and God said to him, because you have asked this and not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies. I think somewhere in there in the back of my head, I'd have been thinking, oh, that was on the table. To just wipe out all my enemies. God says, because you didn't ask for that, because you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. How amazing is that? God is doing what Solomon asked him to do. I'm going to do according to your word. So that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall ever or shall rise after you. I will give you also what you have not asked. Well, he got it all, didn't he? Both riches and honor. Jackpot. So that no other king shall compare to you all your days, and you will keep, if you keep and if you will, let me get my words right there. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes, there were some strings attached. Here's what I'm giving you. If you want to keep it, here's what you do. Keeping my statutes and commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So God was so honored by Solomon's request that he gives him all these other things. I mean, he already had them, but he increases them. He already had riches, but they increased. He already had honor, but that increased as well. If we would fast forward well into the First Kings, we would see all that. But all we have to do is go one chapter over and we see the beginning of this already. First Kings chapter 4, it says that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore. That's huge. God gave Solomon such wisdom that the only way to describe it was to say, look at the beach there. Imagine what it would be like to try and guess the amount of grains of sand on the beach. That's the amount, that's the way of trying to understand how much wisdom and knowledge that Solomon had in his brain that God had given to him. That is, it's huge. It's beyond things that we can fathom. That's why I said it's, where was that? Beyond measure. That's how wise Solomon was. So that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people in the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all other men, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite, and He-Man, master of the universe, and Calcol and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Now, I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I've written a few songs in my day. I'm into double digits. I've not hit triple digits. I'm far from triple digits, much less 4 digits. 1,005 songs. That's a lot of songs. And did you catch the proverbs? 3,000 proverbs. If you were to count the proverbs we have in the book of Proverbs, there are about 800 to 900 proverbs. So if Solomon were responsible for all of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, we really only have a third of the Proverbs that he was known to have spoken. But even less, because there's a good understanding that Solomon didn't write the entire book of Proverbs, but collected it, and there was some portion afterwards, more contributors. But it is definitely not only probable, but according to this information from 1 Kings chapter 4, it is also plausible that Solomon would have written most of those proverbs because he had 3,000 to choose from. He was only picking a portion of them. And we know that Solomon's wisdom was God-given wisdom because of the story that I shared with you earlier. Solomon asked for wisdom and God granted it to him. It came from God. So we have here in our hands, in our Bibles, in this book of Proverbs, hundreds of Proverbs that are filled with God's wisdom, not just Solomon's wisdom, but God's wisdom that he gave to Solomon that he has written down and we still have to this day. Wisdom straight from God given to Solomon in our hands. And yet it is so easy to pass over a book like this because it's not story. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, or the book of Genesis, the book of Acts, or the book of Exodus, those are fun books to read because there's story. There's action, there's dialogue, there's people talking. But books like Wisdom Literature, Proverbs, sometimes they're easy to overlook. You know, we think about like 1 Kings. I was just reading out of 1 Kings. If movies were made out of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Judges, Joshua, any of those books in that area of our Bible, if accurate movies were made, they would have to be rated R. Or they'd have to do a lot of things and imply things off camera because they were incredibly violent. But the wisdom literature in the Old Testament is very different than reading books like that, books that would keep your attention because you're like, what? She did what with a tent peg in his temple? What? But when we read wisdom literature, and it's just proverb after proverb, hundreds of proverbs, one after the other, written in a poetic fashion. The Psalms written by, or written and collaborated by his father David. Poetry and song, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Song of Solomon, all put together by Solomon, written very poetically. And the style is very different than reading a book of recorded history. So it's easy to get a few into it and say, all right, I've got enough. But when we think about what that is, that we have God's wisdom given to Solomon and left in the Bible for us, we shouldn't pass a book like this up. That's just amazing. So he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 105. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish. So not only was he a major philosopher and a major songwriter, but he was also into science. He could teach about the big cedar trees all the way down to the hyssop that grows, growing on the walls, hyssop vines growing on the walls. He could teach about the animal kingdom, the mammals, the birds, the reptiles, and the fish. This guy had a head full of knowledge and understanding. Didn't it say just a few minutes ago that it was beyond measure? We couldn't even fathom. And all people, or people of all nations rather, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. So people came from miles and miles just to hear Solomon's wisdom. And we have this wisdom captured in God's word and accessible for every one of us on our cell phone. We would be wise to line up with all of those who journeyed miles and miles to gather and listen to Solomon's wisdom. And yet it sits a fingertip away, and we let it collect dust. You know, we just came out of a series where we zoomed in and we focused in on four verses that talked about seven things that were abominations to God. Do you guys remember where that passage was from? Close. Really? Guesses? Do I hear? Did I hear something? What? Proverbs, yeah! Proverbs 6:16. That's where that passage came from. And so we just spent a number of weeks in one, in three, four little verses right there in Proverbs. So now what we're going to do is we're going to zoom out. And we're going to get a general look at a number of major topics covered in the book of Proverbs. This was a series that I wrote and preached 9 years ago in 2014. So this is version 2.0. But one of the cool things that you can see in the book of Proverbs is that the major topics all can be described with a W word. And so that's why we have this as 6+1, wherever, sorry, I didn't put the logo back in there. But on your bulletins, you've got that there in the front. We've got wisdom, work, wealth, words, and then we've got women, wives, wedlock. We'll put all that kind of together because all three of those are spoken of in there. And so, but I had to, for the logo, I couldn't just keep going. I just had one word there, so that's women. Wicked and righteous. And inspired by our last series, I decided to call this one 6+1 because the original sermon was, or the original series was 6 W's, or W6 is what it was called. But this go around, we're going to add an extra, a bonus, and it's going to be ways. Because there's a lot of things in the book of Proverbs that just talks about general living, just general behavior. And so that's going to be a little bit of a popcorn sermon with a bunch of different topics, but that will be a bonus sermon in this 2.0. This won't be a verse-by-verse study. It'll be very topical across the book of Proverbs. However, to get us started, it's a good idea to go right to the very beginning. So we're going to do a little verse by verse here. In Proverbs 1, chapter 1, it's always nice to start in the beginning when you're starting somewhere. That just kind of logical. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. The one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's take some quick notes on that. So the Proverbs are for wisdom that is accompanied with action. Proverbs are for wisdom that is accompanied with action. We just read this, so I'm not going to have it on the screen. That way you guys can write that note down. But we just read, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. So to have wisdom, but to put it into action, to have wisdom and instruction and understanding, and to use that in wise dealings. In our everyday dealing with things around us, in our everyday function, to do good things with your wisdom, to put your wisdom into action. Wisdom by itself isn't much good if it's not being put to use. Right here in this opening verse, we see that the hundreds of proverbs that follow and all the stuff that you can read in the next 30 chapters, it's all wisdom. It's all wisdom. Just after verse of God's wisdom, but it won't do you a bit of good if you don't put it into practice, if you don't do it. You know, the temptation on any given Sunday, any time when you're in the Bible, if it's here on a Sunday morning, if it's in a Sunday school or a small group or your personal Bible time, it's very easy to have the temptation of just having the thought of, well, that was a really good way of looking at things. And then we walk away unaffected by it. But I feel the temptation increases even more when we're in a study like this, where it is a philosophical and intellectual type of study. And we all rub our chins, whether we have hair or not. And we ponder. And we think of the wisdom we've just heard. And we walk away pondering it. And we ponder and we ponder. But if it doesn't make it to our hands, if it doesn't make it to our tongues or our feet, then it hasn't benefited you and it hasn't benefited those around you. So for wisdom to be any good, we must put it into action. And that's how he starts this whole, all of these hundreds of proverbs. He starts it off by saying, this is great information, it's great insight, it's great wisdom, but you have to use it in your dealings. You have to use it, it has to be used. The Proverbs offer wisdom for all. And we just read this. Let me reread this. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. So let's write this down, just straight from Scripture. The simple gain prudence. And prudence is cautionary discretion, as it's described here. If I were to use a simple modern day word, I would use the word pause. To just push the pause button. To pause. To think. To stop and think. Cautionary discretion, prudence. So wisdom gives the simple prudence. The young gain knowledge and discretion, an understanding to base your choices off of, a knowledge base to make decisions from. Because when you're young, and we've all been there, where Solomon was, you don't have all of the experiential knowledge. And that's one of the cool things about wisdom. Wisdom can give to the youth. Wisdom can give to the youth knowledge to base their decisions on beyond their years. Knowledge that they have without having to have experienced it. So it gives to the simple the wisdom to press the pause button. It gives to the youth knowledge to base their discretion upon. And even those who are wise and experienced. You know, like all of you here this morning. Even people who are already discerning have something to gain. He says, let the wise hear and increase in learning. And the one who understands obtain guidance. So let's write that down. The already wise increase their learning. The already wise increase their learning. And if you don't think that you need to increase your learning, then you aren't as wise as you think you are. Because any wise person knows that they can always grow, they can always improve, they can always expand, and wisdom can offer that expansion to those who are already well acquainted with wisdom. Wisdom can help the one who already has an understanding to gain an even better system for guidance. So if you're already good at knowing the right choice, to make good decisions, to know the difference between good and bad, you're solid there. That's great. There's still more to gain in this book of Proverbs. There's more guidance available to you. So Proverbs is for everyone. It's wisdom for all. And after these introductory verses, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." So let's write this down. Proverbs, understand that standing in awe of God is a prerequisite of wisdom. Standing in awe of God is a prerequisite of wisdom. To gain his wisdom, in order to be able to listen to God, to God's for God's advice, for God's wisdom to have any impact on us, we must first lay ours down. We have to wave the white flag and surrender our own notions, our own intelligence, our own preconceived ideas and wisdom that we have gained. Now, this is not a full abandon. It's simply laying down. To surrender them and lay them down before the Lord, because sometimes our wisdom is right, but it might be partially right. It could use some tweaks. We're flawed people. We live in a fallen world. We're not perfect. So even our wisest thoughts that have been proven through the years, they could still stand a refining. And that requires laying them before the Lord to be refined, to surrender them and say, you know what? There might be something in here that could be tweaked to be even better. These wise thoughts that I've had through the years. And that's how we need to approach this whole series. So we need to follow this away for the next, 6 weeks following. And each Sunday walk in and say, okay, I'm laying my wisdom down, God. I want to lay my thoughts down. I want to lay all of my experience down. And I want to let you refine it. And what happens is the wise thoughts are made more pure. And our dumb thoughts are melted. That's cool too. Because sometimes we have things that we think are wise and we lay them down and they go, whoo, in the midst of God's wisdom, we're like, whoa, I guess that one wasn't so great because it doesn't match with God's wisdom. And we want that. We want that. We don't want to be deceived by stupid things that we think are wisdom in our lives. So we need to lay it down. None of that's going to happen. Our good wisdom is not going to be refined. Our bad wisdom is not going to be burnt up and melted away. None of that's going to happen if we don't lay it down before the Lord. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. And that takes trust. To fully trust God, we must fully revere God. And we miss that sometimes in our New Testament, God's all love version. We forget that God is a being to be revered, to be feared, to stand in awe of him. And if we truly seek his guidance, then we have to fully trust him, and we won't fully trust him if we don't fully acknowledge that he is much, much bigger, much, much smarter than we are. And we have to trust him that when we pick it back up, we take it as 100% him. Because the temptation then is to pick it up and say, this is pretty good, but I'm gonna improve a little bit on this. Don't do that. You just laid it down. It was refined. Don't pick it back up and say, well, I'm gonna personalize this. And it's good to take it personally, But to personalize it, those are two different things. So you're not going to tweak it for you. You take God's wisdom as pure as it is, and you apply it as is. And we're only going to be able to do that if we trust God, and we're only going to be able to do that if we fear him. And that's why fear is the beginning of all knowledge. It's not a rule to play by. It's not where God says, all right, well, if you don't fear me, I want to hoard my knowledge. We know that's not true, right? Because it's right here for all of us, for everyone, for people that love him and people that hate him, for people that believe in him, but for people that don't believe in him. The Bible's right there in all of the wisdom that's in it. So God's not going to hoard it. Fearing God is simply the path to receiving his wisdom. You're not going to receive it without the fear. You're not going to receive it without the trust. You're not going to receive it without the surrender. And so those that don't, won't. But those who will, they will receive God's wisdom. The fear, let's write that down. Let's write that. It's an awesome verse. Let's fill that verse in. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Even Mr. T wouldn't have pity on that fool. Two 80s references. Let's go. So God is very generous with his wisdom. He left it for all of us. And so we fear him. And we lay ours down and we receive his wisdom. And all of that requires humility. Proverbs 11:2. We're going to be reading a lot of Proverbs. I mean, that's the name of the series. So we're going to be diving into a handful of these. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is what? Wisdom. So let's write this down. Pride stands in the way of wisdom. Humility opens the door for wisdom. And we're told that in various ways throughout the book of Proverbs, but that one's pretty clear. So we got the next one. Should have the next one. There we go. Okay. Pride stands in the way of wisdom. Humility opens the door for wisdom. I'll let you guys get that for a half a second. And we'll move on. The value of wisdom is unmatched by even the finest of earth's possessions. The value of wisdom is unmatched by even the finest of earth's possessions. Think about the guy who had everything, King Solomon. He had everything you could ever wish for and ask for. And the one thing he asked for was what? Wisdom. I think we should take mental note of that. I mean, think about that. You can work to gain whatever version of success that you dream of as success. You can gain wealth, or you can gain power or prestige or some social standing. Whatever it is, whatever your version of gaining success is. And gaining wisdom will always be above any of that. It will always be more valuable than any version of success that we have in our minds. Solomon had an amazing kingdom handed down to him by his father, and he asked for wisdom. And we should take mental note of that, because God's wisdom is right here and it's available for us. You know, I apologize. We don't have volunteers secretly replacing all of your cars with Lamborghinis in the parking lot. We don't have a team of people that are going out to your houses right now to give them a full makeover, like those shows, you know, where they make over the house and the people come home. We're not doing that. I'm sorry. But every time you open God's word, you're getting wisdom that is more valuable than either of those two examples. And that's we need to be reminded of that, church. Because we think of things like that and we're like, whoa. You know, well, some of you guys are thinking, I don't know how I'd get down into a Lamborghini. I don't know how I'd get out of a Lamborghini, but I'd love to try. We need to understand that wisdom, God's wisdom, outweighs any of those things that we would count as valuable. And we need to be reminded of that today. Proverbs 8:11 says, for wisdom is better than jewels, And all that you may desire cannot compare with her. All that you may desire cannot compare with wisdom. Proverbs 16:16, how much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. It's of supreme value. Hey, how much did you pay for that wisdom? Oh, you got a great deal. Wait a minute, you didn't even let me get a chance to tell you. It doesn't matter what it cost you. If you got wisdom, it was a great deal. Because nothing can compare to wisdom. You know, many of us have gained wisdom at some pretty high costs through the school of hard knocks. We've seen some things and it's hurt and it's cost us and we've gotten wisdom out of it. But here in Proverbs, the wisdom in God's word, it's as inexpensive as it comes. It's just there. It's not going to cost you anything. But don't assume that it's cheap because it's inexpensive. It's anything but cheap. We're sitting here and we're comfortable, and it's not costing us a thing to learn from God's word, to learn God's wisdom, but don't be deceived. What you're gaining is of supreme value. The wisdom throughout this book of Proverbs will hit you. And for those of us who've had a little bit of life under our, and those of you guys who've been through a Proverbs study or been through it before, we're still going to hit areas where we're going to go, man, if I would have had that, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, how would I have maybe been more wise with some decisions? And so if we think about that going backwards, we know that there are going to be things in front of us that we're going to be able to benefit from. Proverbs 4:7 says, the beginning of wisdom is this. I love this. This is for that simple group. The beginning of wisdom is this. What does that say? Get wisdom. You got to want it. You got to want it to get it. The beginning of wisdom is this. I thought it was fear of the Lord. Well, yes, fearing the Lord, that's the beginning. That's the path. But it's got to start with you saying, get wisdom. And that's kind of, that's very caveman, you know. Get wisdom. Turn to your neighbor and say, get wisdom. Turn to your other neighbor and say, get wisdom. Now let's write that down. Get wisdom. Write that down. Whatever you get, if it's wealth, if it's knowledge or intelligence or good looks or a strong work ethic or a house in the city or a house in the country, whatever you get, if you drive a Prius or you drive a pickup truck, whatever you acquire in life, the proverb says, get wisdom. All that other stuff's okay. But don't miss this one. Because nothing else compares to wisdom. Don't miss this. No matter who you are, no matter what you get in life, make this one of the things you get. Get wisdom. So why is wisdom so valuable? We're going to boom, boom, boom through these as quickly as we can. Wisdom's so important because wisdom brings life. Wisdom brings life. You guys can write that little four-letter word down as we read. Proverbs chapter 2, it says, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech. So we're just going to look at a few ways that wisdom brings life. Wisdom brings life because it brings righteous choices to my life. Living right means more life. It's pretty simple. When you're doing the right things, when you're living a righteous life, you're going to have more life, and godly wisdom helps us to live right. Proverbs 4, hear my son and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness, When you hear, when you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. You know, I've played soccer. Many of you guys know I played soccer for many, 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 many years. And I've played soccer on so many different surfaces. I've played on like really professional fields. Not, I wasn't professional by any means, but I got a chance to go and play at some really nice fields. Nice and flat, nice turf. I've played, I mean, I'm from North Carolina. You know, I've played in fields that look like cow pastures. And they were ruddy and uneven and clumps of grass and patches of dirt in different places. I've played on the sand in South Carolina. Beach pickup soccer, and it's wonderful. The sand kind of acts like sandpaper on the top of your feet. So you pay for it later, but it's fun in the moment. I played on the hard surface of the Mississippi River down in Memphis, Tennessee. And I can tell you that on the surfaces that are nice and even, you can go all out. Because on those cow pasture fields, you have to be very careful. Because you can twist an ankle real easily. And so you're not going 100%. You're going a little less to make sure that you can navigate that ground. Here in this proverb, God says through Solomon, when you walk, if you walk by wisdom, your step will not be hampered. If you run, you will not stumble. It's the equivalent of walking through life in a cow pasture versus walking through life on professional field of turf with no holes or and you just go full bore. And you can reach your full potential because you're walking by wisdom. And you can run unhindered. Unhampered. How cool is that? That's something. That's something I want. Without the proverbial sprained ankle. Wisdom brings us life because it helps us stay on a safe path, a straight path, a righteous path. No obstacles. And you can reach your full potential. Doesn't that sound great? Yeah. It's wisdom. Proverbs 3:35, the wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. Let's write this down because, well, just because that's cool. Wisdom brings honor to my life. Wisdom brings honor to my life. Proverbs 4, do not forsake her and she will keep you. He personifies wisdom often through the book. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. We just read that. And whatever you get insight. The picture of a crown of splendor is that of a life that is guarded and guided by wisdom. And that life will be visible and evident to all those who are around. Not because the person is walking around bragging about it or flaunting it, but simply because someone who walks and lives by wisdom will be noticed. It will bring honor to your life. And you'll wear it like a crown. Not because of it, not because you're a braggart, but because your wisdom will show through character and integrity. And it will be visible from anyone who lives by wisdom's instructions. So wisdom brings honor to our life. Wisdom brings protection to my life. Let's write that down. Wisdom brings protection to my life. As we would continue reading in chapter 4, verse 8, prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her, and she will place your head a graceful garland. That's where the crown was. And she will bestow on you a beautiful crown. So let's write this down. Wisdom elevates my life. We got all sorts of, we get a facelift, we get, you know, house improvements, different things like that. One of the most important thing we could elevate would be our life, our insides, right? That's what wisdom does for it. It elevates our life. A wise man is full of strength. A wise man is full of what? Strength. How can you read a word like that? Strength. Oh. A wise man is full of what? Strength. Yeah, you got to read it like it's, like the word sounds. And a man of knowledge enhances his might, oh, you guys fell off a little bit on that one. Might, let's write this down. Wisdom brings power to my life. Who doesn't want more strength? Who doesn't want to embrace or to enhance your might? Spiritual steroids, if I may. You can take into account wars or even sporting events to get a clear picture of this. Strategy provides far more strength or power than just simple effort and brute force. That's why a team's coach is so pivotal to a team winning or losing, because the coach helps to focus all of that power and strength that is on the field. And without his wisdom, that power and strength isn't what it could be. But with his wisdom, that power and strength can be more than what it should be. Strategy wins wars. Strategy puts W's on a team's stats. You can have a car with 500 horsepower. There we go. You can have a car with a 500 horsepower engine in it, but if it's not handled correctly by the other components, then you're just wasting horsepower. You've got technology and science and mathematics that all go in to enhancing that and taking all of that power and making it useful. Aerodynamics, the computer system, the gearing of the transmission, they all work together to take something that's powerful and utilize it to be more powerful. Enhance the might. You know, you don't have to go to wars or sporting events or even, you know, muscle cars for an understanding of that. I remember back when I was, I think it was somewhere in between like the end of high school, the beginning of college, or maybe I was home for a break during college or something, and I was in my kitchen. And I'm a guitarist. Guitarists have strong hands. And I was trying to get a jelly jar open. And I mean, I was just, I mean, white knuckles, you know, palm is all red, and you're wiping it off with your shirt and just giving it all you got. My mom's just standing there. And she's like, do you need some help with that? And I'm like, no, I got this. I got this, you know, and I'm... And she offered, I think, a couple times, and I was just giving it all I got. And finally, my desire for a PB&J outweighed my pride, because sometimes it happens. And I was like, all right, here, you know, if you can help. And so she takes the jelly jar, and she holds it under hot water. You guys, many of you guys know this trick, right? Glass jar, metal lid, and some of the jelly might have been in there, too. She just holds it under hot water. Just opens it right up. See, wisdom, it gives power. Wisdom enhances our might. Proverbs 21:20, precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. 15:24, the path of life leads upward for the prudent. Let's write this down. This is the one I'm careful of, but prosperity. Wisdom brings life because it brings prosperity to my life. You guys know I'm very careful not to preach what's called a health and wealth gospel, that if you give your life to Christ, that you'll be all healthy and all wealthy because of it. No, that the eternal salvation that is secured in Jesus Christ does not guarantee an easy life on earth. But with that said, making wise choices, prosperity is the natural result of wise choices. When you're wise, your money will go further when you're wise with your wealth. When you're wise, then it doesn't mean that you need to have more. You just have to be wise with what you have. When you're wise with your gifts and talents and time, you might not be increasing any of those. I mean, we know that we can't increase time, but you're going to be more efficient with them. And so your wisdom helps to move those forward. It brings prosperity. It means that you'll be more efficient. You'll yield more productivity in your work, better quality from your skills. And that will naturally result in prosperity. When you're wise in your relationships, it will prosper when you use wisdom. Not because God is blessing you with more, but because God is helping you to be wise with what he's already blessed you with. So it does bring prosperity. Along those same lines, Proverbs 4:10 says, "Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many." So let's write this down. Very simple. It brings life because it brings longevity to my life. That just makes sense. I mean, if you're making righteous choices, you're making healthy choices, you're not giving in to drunkenness, then your liver's going to last longer. If you're not stepping behind the wheel of a car smashed, you're not going to shorten your life or the life of others. Stupid decisions often shorten lives. Being wise enough not to work yourself to death out of greed. I mean, that puts some people in the grave a lot sooner than they would be if it weren't for the poison of greed in their system. Being wise enough not to stress yourself to death over anger or unforgiveness. Bitterness kills. The list could go on and on and on and on, showing how foolish decisions shorten our life, but God's wisdom promotes healthy, righteous living, and the natural result of righteous living, living wisely, is that generally you will live longer. Outside of, you know, outside sources, but you and your choices, you're going to have a better chance at living longer, longevity. Wisdom is for everyone. This book that we're going to get into, all these things that we just looked at, and it's a lot, but I didn't want us to miss how awesome it is, this book of wisdom at our fingertips.